Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Everybody runs down the floor. James, long pass down the floor. Cryer tips it. Loose. Knipple has it. Throws to Proctor. Heaves up a three. No good. Houston from behind. 14 down to the national championship game. And for the first time since 1984, Houston will play for a men's basketball national championship.
He threw it away. Hill, Pagonis. Did we just see what we think we just saw?
Kevin Kugler with the call. Westwood won, and the final is set. I still can't believe it. Houston tops Duke. They were down 14 with 8 to play. They were down 9 with 2 minutes and 15 seconds left. They wind up winning. Florida wins. They win by 6 over Auburn, and it'll be Florida and Houston, and it is down to me and Peyton Russell. Peyton has clinched a loss.
He's done.
He has clinched a loss.
Him and his chalky ass bracket was the first one down. I love it. I'm so glad. How great is that? The chalky bracket and the chalkiest
tournament of all time.
And this man and his coward bracket. That's God getting back at you for your coward bracket.
That is God. That is God getting back at you right there, man. That is God getting back at you. Peyton is absolutely going to lose.
Let go and let God.
It just matters if...
Take that Jesus piece off your necklace.
God, Bobby. It just matters if Peyton loses with me or without me, because if Houston wins, we tie for the worst. And that means we both do.
And I win the tournament.
5:30 segment. And you win the tournament.
So that's the best
result.
You have
Houston win it at all?
No, but Florida not winning would put Sean below me.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
Sean's out this week, by the way.
Sean is out this week. It's Sean and RJ.
His gas.
What do you mean he's out?
No.
I'm RJ Choppy. He's my Bill Payton and Aiden alongside. Yeah, Sean is out this week. Again, it's a paternity leave. But yeah, we have. Oh, it's a great week. This is my favorite week of sports. Usually it is. Now, baseball screwed everything up because they started their season 2 weeks ago. And also, the NCAA tournament has been pushing things back. My favorite week of sports is always the NCAA final, baseball's opening day, the Masters, and then you culminate with WrestleMania. Was always in that same 10-day stretch. Yeah. That was always my favorite 10-day stretch of the year. And we don't have that anymore, but it is Masters week. That'll get going on Thursday. I'll get going today for the practice rounds if you really care about that. We'll have the par 3, but we got ourselves a final, Bobby.
We do. And it's this set up to where, I'll be honest, I thought Duke was going to beat Florida if they met up. Auburn felt like the weakest of the four the whole time. So I think Florida versus Houston.
Which is odd because they were the best team all year.
Right. I think Houston versus Florida is the best possible final we could have got.
Boy, Jani Broome just disappeared to the second half of that game. He had one basket in the second half.
I don't think he was healthy.
Well, I don't think he was healthy either, but he was pretty decent in the first half.
Yeah, and look, I mean, there are certain things you can power through. But I mean, he clearly, when they're talking about on Friday, yeah, by Saturday, I will be 100%.
I will be. But today, I'm like 40.
Well, then you're not going to be
100%. But I'll be 100% by then.
He broke out a sleeve and he practiced with it. He talked about making it angry, how he made his elbow angry last week because he was pushing it too hard. That wasn't.
I don't think he was 100%. But yeah, the one basket in the second half, 15, 12 to go. And that was it for him. That was it for Jahni Broome in the second half from a field goal perspective. And Auburn did, they weren't able to capitalize on being close in a game they shouldn't have been close in. They were outshot. They were out-rebounded. They were out everything. At assist, they were out everything in this game. And they were still close. They were still right there.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I look at this final that we have set up here with Houston and Florida. I keep wanting to say Auburn and Florida because of that game. With Houston and Florida, and I just have a feeling about Houston.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. Because I know it's a coin flip, but I feel like there have been too many times where Florida's got away with some stuff during this tournament run. They've been really good, but I mean, they should have lost to Tech. They absolutely should have. And you can make the same case, I guess, about Houston with Duke, but man, I felt like Florida has got away with some sloppy stuff, some sloppy habits more throughout this tournament than Houston has, and that can't be totally rewarded. It's a little bit like when I say, like, the Chiefs can't win. The Chiefs can't win. Eventually, it's got to catch up. The Eagles have to beat them. They have to lose somewhere along the stretch. Sort of the same thing here, although Florida's been more consistent than Kansas City Chiefs were during the year.
To me, with Florida, they are the type of team that they really run it up against slow-tempo teams. Like that, I've seen this a couple of times this year. They really kind of run it up. I could see Florida winning. Look, if you wanted to say that Houston wins, I think it's because Florida doesn't shoot well. Now maybe that's some of Houston.
I mean, look,
defensively,
UConn should have beat Florida. Texas Tech should have beat Florida.
Yeah,
I mean, if Jahni Broome's totally healthy, maybe that beats Florida. So I got it. I'm going Houston in this one, and that'd be the Cougs' first national title.
And it would be me and Peyton hosting. So we would have 2 days. 2 days of greatness. 2 days of greatness. We would do that next week.
So many good outcomes for this. And why are we going to wait next week? I think Peyton's right. I think we should do it this week.
I might have off next week. I don't know.
You think so?
Let's just continue the trend. Someone take off every time.
That's true. We should do it this week. We should. Absolutely should. But we're not going to. So the game was in San Antonio.
Yep.
And, Charles Barkley has always...
Big fan of the city.
Big fan of the city.
Him and Mike Bassett, the top two.
Yes, absolutely. And Dylan Caldwell plays for Auburn. He wasn't having what Charles has been kicking out there.
I love San Antonio. San Antonio Spurs, you want to draft your boy. I love San Antonio. I don't know. I haven't seen any of the women that Charles Barkley was talking about, but I do. I love San Antonio. I think San Antonio is a great place. Like I said, Spurs, if you're out there, let me know. But, no, it's a beautiful spot, and we're right on the Riverwalk. And Riverwalk is one of the most gorgeous things I've ever seen in a city standpoint. I think it's one of those walkable cities in America. I'm a big, big San Antonio fan right now. I love it.
Where is he from? I like San Antonio. I really do.
I think San Antonio's good.
Say the Riverwalk is one of the most beautiful.
He may have seen it at night. During the day is, it is what it is.
Let's see where this guy would die.
Bruce Pearl, by the way, told his players, get out there on the Riverwalk. Enjoy what you've earned. That's kind of cool.
I like that.
Get out there.
Let's see here.
Get out there and go.
Okay, so he went to Oak Hill Academy in Virginia, and then he went to high school his final year in Athens, Georgia.
Athens is a nice town.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Athens is a nice town. It's interesting. But I don't like to hate on the Riverwalk.
I like fine. San Antonio. I would never describe the Riverwalk as one of the most beautiful.
That's true. I would never say that either.
The Riverwalk and Flower Mound is nicer.
It's a nice one. It's been great TV ratings for the Final Four. We talked about the first two rounds were up 30%. The Elite Eight was down, but the final four games on Saturday night, huge. Duke Houston got viewership peaked at over 20 million. Duke Houston got 16 million on average. The first game got about 15 million on average. So the two games combined to average about 15 million because that second game, the first game was a little bit less than 15. It was like 14. The most watched Final Four in 8 years. And the Florida-Auburn game, the early game, was up almost 30% year to year. So that's a big jump.
That's a big jump. And what the Elite Eight was down, wasn't it?
Elite Eight was down. The games were not very good. They had some blowouts. The early game in the same window year to year was down 30%. It was the same team. Tennessee was in both early games on Sunday. But one game was a blowout, and then the previous year was a very close one. So there's your 30% difference.
Yeah,
and plus, it was on Easter Sunday 2 years ago, or last year, and this year was not. And I don't know. I guess Easter Sunday is a better week.
How much have we talked about the aspect of the fact that, look, you want Cinderella up until you get to this point.
I agree.
When you get to the Final Four, you don't want that. You want Cinderella to have her run, but yeah, you do want it to strike midnight before the final. And that's what you got out of this Final Four. This Final Four this weekend, I genuinely was interested in watching both games. I'm just like, I know I'm going to get good basketball. Like, I know Florida versus Auburn will be a good game. Houston versus Duke will be a good game. I know we're going to get a great title game tonight. Like, this will be a great game. Like, I'm excited about it. Florida versus Houston will be great. So, to me, that's the thing that is going to be a big driver for the rating success, too, for the championship game in all likelihood, is the fact that while everybody wants Cinderella, it's only to a point, and then they want it to end.
Right.
And at the end, they want to see really good basketball.
These are top four. These are the top four teams in the country all year. They were. Alabama was up there at a point. Tennessee was up there at a point. That's Iowa State for a hot minute. Other than that, these were the four steady teams all year. And that's a major part why the TV ratings were so high for the Final Four.
Auburn is 32-6. They finished the year 32-6. Do you know what the records of Florida, Houston, and Duke are?
They have, I think, the highest loss though was four by Florida.
It's the same. They're all 35-4 now that Duke has been eliminated. Because Duke was a three-loss team during the year.
Right.
But if they're all three random. Like, Florida and Houston won this game both 35-4. Duke finishes the year 35.
Hell, I mean, that's great. Those are great teams.
That's what you want.
Yep, these are great teams. What you don't want is your weatherman coming at you for being complaining.
Oh?
Yes. So, Memphis had some weather over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That whole area, tornadoes left and right, right?
Gosh, some of the videos of those tornadoes from Arkansas and stuff were ridiculous.
You know, and Memphis obviously it borders Arkansas. It's right there. So, WREG, during the Auburn-Florida game, it's 69-68 with 3 minutes and 20 seconds to go. So, nice. Tight game down the wire, right?
Mm-hmm.
The weatherman pops on. So, the game goes picture in picture. There's no voice. There's no voice for the TV for the game. It's now just him doing weather. And people are not happy. I have stayed silent. This is on Twitter. I have stayed silent, but this was insanity. If people want to know the weather, Channel 3 is not the only place they can do it. It's 2025. It's not like they die if they don't hear from you. While, in fact, it is the only option for the Final Four, and we missed the announcers the entire game. This guy goes on to the Notes app.
Mm-hmm.
He went full on Notes app here.
Ooh.
This is, his name is...
Notes app can get you in trouble, especially if you're a teacher.
Tyler Eliason, especially if you're a teacher.
Yeah, we'll talk about that story later.
Is that the...
Yeah, that's the 30-year-old.
The 30-year-old. Tyler Eliason, WREG in Memphis. I don't want to hear one more... This is Notes app. I don't want to hear one more comment about why we're covering up the volume of the game. You can see the game. You're going to have to deal with my voice and then just deal with it again. Because we lost several people. Several people died Wednesday night, and potentially this is the saving of someone's life right now. This is still not in that path, not there yet, I should say, but it's a significant tornado, a confirmed tornado, and it was very violent going into New Albany, Mississippi. So we're going to track this. It is what it is. Send me emails later, and we can chat. But this is what is right now, and this is what is right. Deal with it.
I mean, I do agree. Like, when there's a dangerous situation like that, sorry, you're going to have to deal with it. Do you need the volume? Do you need to hear the TV broadcast screaming in your ear? As long as the picture's up there, you should be fine.
Yeah, I mean...
Would you be upset
by the guy who wrote the big tweet I read a minute, that's Chris Vernon. He's a local Memphis sports radio guy. So he's like he was not happy. Look, I think my stance is, and I don't know how I would program this if I was a TV station, but, you know, there are other channels to go to. Like, you're the only place that has the Final Four.
You have to break in. You have to break in. Because the people who are glued to the Final Four, those are the people that need to be, like, see this is what's happening. because there are going to be so many people with their eyeballs on that. So yeah. If somebody's watching the game and is just oblivious to what's going on outside, they need to break into that person and go, hey, there's something coming directly towards your house. You need to go get shelter. Like
something quick.
You have to be up there to tell them.
How long do you get up there for?
I mean, if it's an emergency, like they had a tornado emergency. That is a confirmed tornado on the ground.
Yeah.
In all likelihood, violent, like heading directly to it. They have to break in.
Yeah, but I'm saying is how long do you break
you
in
have
for?
To stay through.
You have to stay through.
I think so. If you've got a split screen up so it's up there, you don't need to hear the play-by-play to me at that point.
What if it's in your city? What if, like, your local team is playing? Like, if it's the Super Bowl and the Cowboys are in it, they break in, and you're a Cowboys fan, and you miss the call of the and all that at the end of the game.
I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Sorry, if there's a tornado, if there's an F4 barreling towards houses in DeSoto, yeah. They need to know.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying.
The highlight will be on Twitter in 6 seconds.
I don't even understand how this is a question. People were dying. People did
die. I'm not saying I disagree with
it. No, I'm not saying
it.
You. I'm saying other people who are talking about this, who are saying, like, this is ridiculous. What do you want them to do?
I don't know. That's the question. That's what I'm asking you. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
But if the picture's up there, you're still watching the game.
Yeah, you are. That's true. It's Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden alongside commercial-free Expressway. Next, the best and worst of the weekend and a ticket giveaway. All next on 105.3 The Fan.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You have reached the commercial-free expressway. It's Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden alongside. Best of worst of the weekend, Bobby, coming up in 18 minutes from now.
Yes, indeed it is. And coming up, I don't know, about 2 hours and 15 minutes from now, roughly. Not quite that long. More like an hour and 50 minutes from now. I'm gonna let Zach and Eric have it.
Have the hour,
have the wrath of my biting tongue is what they're gonna get. I was going on Friday.
Do we have a diss track coming up?
We do. There it is. Listen right there. Can't play all of it because we're gonna save it for 9 a.m. segment. You got to tune in for. But I was up for 5-time G-bag status on Friday with my Kendrick Lamar diss.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach and Eric, those traitors. They voted against me. And Dawson and Broadus were like, we're going to vote for Bobby. You guys are going to take this from him. And they did.
So, well, hang on. That still is only 2-2.
Ross was there. Ross was running the board. He played it. They were the first three votes. Eric, Ross, and Zach. And they all three voted against me.
Wow.
And I was mad. Now, Ross picked the clip. So, I get Ross is more likely to vote for that. So, I understand that. But then when Zach and Eric do it, and Zach's whole excuse, he's like, well, I knew Gav was going to make you honorary 5 times. I was like, I don't care. I don't want to be named to the Pro Bowl as an injury replacement. I want to get voted there. Let me get to G-Bag of the Year competition. So when they took that from me, when they snatched that from me,
okay.
I had about enough. And so I told them immediately. I texted them. I said, too late for your apologies. I'm already in the lab.
Did you say it's too late to apologize?
I did. I said, just like One Republic, baby. And then I said, I'm already in the lab. You're screwed. It's done. So I did it. I did the diss track. I sent it to y'all over the weekend. Let you guys look at it and give me feedback. And so I will also say I sent it to a couple different people. I sent it to Reggie. Reggie came back with a couple notes.
Uh-huh.
He's like, can I get you to say
this?
Instead of saying your boy, can you say Young Belt? That'll make me smile if you say Young Belt. And I was like, okay,
all right,
you got it, Reggie. So I fit it in. But during the 9 o'clock segment. Zach and Eric are going to get torched.
Now, is this audio only, or is there a...
There will be lyrics up on the fan cam.
Will there be a custom vid involved?
Well, you'll just have to see. There will be lyrics up on it. I did have a, I did have an image up. I created cover art, or ChatGPT did. I was like, make me a picture of a guy stopping a nosebleed. And so that's what I got. I got
is that
the guy,
what that was?
Yeah, it's a guy stopping a nosebleed.
I knew the nosebleed.
And then leaking is the name of it. And so and it's not a parody. Oh, no, no. I was like, no, we're not going to parody this one. I want them to feel this. So I just went and found a like one of those royalty-free beats off of YouTube. I was like, this is going to be completely original for you, you
Very
hoes.
Nice. Very nice. Bobby and the things he can do with AI.
This was not AI, though. I'm sick of people saying I write my those raps I've written have been AI. That was not. The AI was the image. The cover art was AI.
All right, but, well, let's see. All right, now. Shoddy.
Yes, Brian Schottenheimer, who, what do we say? Would we say so far to this point he is getting a passing grade? As much as you can get a passing grade for the offseason, he has one at this point, right? In terms of just how he's presented himself, the way he's talked about team building, the way he's handled things. He's, at this point, thumbs up for Brian Schottenheimer, right?
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's nothing that you can grade him on, so.
You can build, but quality of the type of staff we think he's built.
Yeah.
The way he's taking feedback, the way he's talking about certain issues, like all those optics matter, I think. Mm-hmm. And he gets passing grades for him so far. So this is a great article by Brad Townsend over at the Dallas Morning News, where he had talked to Brian Schottenheimer and some of Shoddy's family, and it was just trying to get a sense of like, why was this, you know how they talked about so much in his opening press conference, how he's been working his whole life towards this, mm-hmm. and everything has been about becoming a coach and leading a group of men like this. This has been what he's worked his whole life towards. So Brad Townsend went and was decided to do some talking to his family, things like, what does that look like? How did he get to this point? How is it that this is what he's prepared for his whole life? So we're going to read from this article from the Dallas Morning News and stop down and chat about some of it. And also, you can let us know on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text, how have your feelings, if at all, maybe they haven't changed at all, but how have your feelings changed at all, potentially, on the Brian Schottenheimer hire after you've seen him now hire a staff, the way he's talked about things, the way he's approached things? 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. This from the Dallas Morning News. Brian Schottenheimer figured it was nerves.
Real quick, so the fan text is saying that you did get 5 wins on the...
No. So it was 5 days, but there was a day where they had a short Rangers game, so they didn't hold a vote that day. So it was the 6th day I was on, but one of those days they skipped a vote, which was disappointing to me. But it's what they did. Brian Schottenheimer figured it was nerves or something he ate. He was 14, watching on TV as his father, Marty, for the 2nd straight January, coached Cleveland against Denver for the AFC title. The previous year, Brian watched in person and agony as the Browns succumbed to the drive. Now his gut ached, but not because he sensed another impending Browns calamity, the fumble. Unknown to Marty and his wife, Pat, as they flew back from the 38-33 heartbreak in Denver, their son's appendix was on the verge of bursting. 37 years later, new Cowboys coach Brian Schottenheimer's eyes well while recounting the ordeal. He says, quote, "Here's my father, exhausted. He just lost his 2nd consecutive AFC championship game, chance to go to the Super Bowl. I'm in excruciating pain. He immediately transformed from being head coach Marty Schottenheimer to dad. They drive me to the Cleveland Clinic emergency room. A couple hours later, I'm on the operating table." So imagine that real quick for Marty Schottenheimer. You come off that 2nd straight just gut-wrenching loss to the Broncos, and then you land, go home, and go, oh, I got to take my kid to the emergency room because he needs to be operated
on. It's crazy. It's, I mean, that's gut. Look, it was a gut-wrenching 2 years for them. I mean, it really was. Really 3 years because they did it again the year after.
They say, so who is Shoddy? In interviews with the Dallas Morning News, family and friends paint a portrait of a 51-year-old who very much is Marty's son, proudly so, but also is his own man with distinctly Shoddy abilities. His mother, Pat, says he's always shown strong leadership. In social situations, he kind of takes over. So much like his dad, such a people person. Marty could be very stubborn at times. Brian is not stubborn. Brian will listen. I don't want to use the word compromise, but he will make sure his position is known. I think this is an interesting dynamic here because this is one that I think Sean's talked about before whenever he's been here. Sean has said before that he just doesn't get the vibe. Like, Shoddy can be the culture builder and everything else, but he doesn't know if Shoddy's going to be the one to just, like, lay down the law. Like, he doesn't know if he's going to be like, nope, this is what we're doing. Which, that description right there that Marty was stubborn, but, oh, Brian will listen. Is that healthy? Is that the way you want it? Or does it lend anything to the idea of, is Brian Schottenheimer going to lay it down and say, no, this is what we're doing, okay? And you guys need to just fall in line. Like you oftentimes need.
Do you?
I think at times you do need a unifying voice that says this is what we're doing. and you guys all need to start getting, because every, when you're trying to lead 53 players and however many coaches, everybody's always going to have a different opinion. So there does have to reach a point where somebody says, this is a decision we've made and we need to do it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the whole lay down the law thing is, like, is overrated in today's sports world. Like,
lay down the law, but a unified vision.
You need to have a singular vision. You need to have a, you need to have everybody on the same page in terms of, like, look, this is the goal. But, I mean, everybody should be on the same page with this is the goal anyway. Everybody's, the goal should be the same for everybody.
Right, but the way to achieve the goal is going to be different.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the plot you take and the path you take, you need everybody to be on the same page.
Yeah.
So it's like, which is what Schottenheimer himself has done when he said, I don't necessarily agree with some of the stuff offensively that Mike McCarthy wants to do, but this is what we have to do. Because if I just spend time fighting it, we're not going to have success anyway, because we're not going to be executing things to the level of detail that we need to. So let's just, all right, I've made my point known, but it's time to go do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, somebody's got to say,
well, a lot of that comes with respect, too.
Yeah.
You know, the players got to respect the coach. They have to respect his mind, his philosophies. They have to respect his vision, his ability to coach them up. They got to have trust in him. You know, like Sean McVay, like the players have tons of trust in Sean McVay. Like, no matter what, no matter how injured we are, no matter how, you know, old the quarterback is or how bad his arm might be, he's going to come up with a game plan that is going to help us win.
972, none, Bobby. Now shut up and stop trying to convince us on Shoddy's stupid nickname, too. 972, I won't shut up because I have a microphone in front of my face. Get back to work. All right. Hey. Though largely a mystery man to fans, Shoddy,
now,
Shoddy said,
God, more comments like that.
Shoddy, since 2022, has been a prominent presence at the Star, first as a coaching staff consultant and the past two seasons as offensive coordinator. Still life as a head coach's son, a college goal of becoming the youngest head coach in NFL history. Calm down, Chop.
And I'm just reading the fan text going in on Sean. How many kids does this guy have? Sean's kid's like a year old now.
She's about to graduate, isn't she?
Damn, Sean works just only even weeks.
Still life as a head coach's son, a college goal of becoming the youngest head coach in NFL history, nearly three decades as an assistant, prepared him for the reality that being in charge is different. Culture must be built, relationships deepened, trust established. We're all in this together, he says. Cowboys staffers say Schottenheimer one morning personally passed out Whataburger breakfast sandwiches to every employee at the Star. We heard that from Nick Harris recently. Emphasizing the example set by his father, he's told everyone connected to football operations that their families come first, that he better not hear after the fact that someone prioritized work over a family crisis or life event. Now, that is the kind of thing that I feel like you would want in your head coach, you specifically, Chop. The idea of a coach who does tell everybody, look, we're here, we're working, but if there's a family crisis or emergency, I better not hear that you put work over it. If you stayed here, you didn't go home to take care of something.
Mm-hmm.
That's because you, I feel like, have argued that that sort of, hey, let's not make work bigger than life. I feel like you've made that argument as being like, that will ultimately help people be happier at work and be more productive at work is when they know they can have their life when they need it.
I wouldn't want somebody to feel like they're going to work. Like, it's not a, you know what I mean? If it's work, eventually you're going to start to hate it. You got to like what you do, and you got to like being there. People leave. It's the stats show. People don't leave jobs. They leave managers.
Well, and
look, you know, like, if you love your manager, you're going to work harder for them.
Kellen Moore left a manager, for instance. That happened. And so,
well, man, look, that's fair. That's what happens.
Yeah, like, no, exactly. And that's the thing. I think it's encouraging not only to just have Schottenheimer put it down as.
I truly think, though, Mike did leave the Cowboys. Like, I don't think he left Jerry.
I think
he left the Cowboys.
I think he left everything that comes with it.
This is too much for me. You want to pay me a gob of money to stay? I'll stay. But other than that,
like, I agree with that.
Let's just go.
I agree with that.
But I think you're right. I think Kellen left Mike, but I think Mike left the team.
Well, and so Schottenheimer, for him to communicate, like I said, those seem like little things, but not only like, oh, I'm going to buy breakfast for everyone. It's not like, hey, come get it in the conference room or come get it off the table. Like, he went to every office and was like giving everybody their breakfast
and
telling them like, hey, here's breakfast. Want to say hey, blah, blah, blah. Then when he's telling everybody, look, I'm laying down the expectation that the only way you're getting in trouble for the issue of a family crisis versus work is if I hear that you didn't go home. Like, that's going to upset me, is if I hear you didn't go home, because now I got guys who are, they're too focused on something. Because,
and he just bought your, he bought your focus while you're there.
And I think Shoddy is, I think Shoddy is that guy.
Yeah.
Or was that guy at one point. Because when you read that book, we played the audio from it, Collision Low Crossers.
He was there all night.
He was, they would talk about that he was there longer than Coughlin. Like, how long, how late Tom Coughlin would stay, Shoddy was there even later. I've talked to people around the league who say, no, Shoddy would stay. I mean, Coughlin doesn't compare to the type of work that Shoddy would put in when he was younger. And I think he realized, I can't do this. He wanted to, but he couldn't. They talk about how different he is, that when he went to a Cleveland Browns game when he was younger with Marty, Shoddy was taking all these scout notes. And as he was driving in, as they were driving home, he just could not stop quizzing his dad on, tell me about Mel Blunt, tell me about Franco Harris, after they played a game against the Steelers. And he just wanted all these details and wanted to know more. And he's just always been obsessive about it. And it reached a point, I think, where he realized he was too obsessive. They say Schottenheimer is not the first Cowboys coach with no prior NFL head coaching experience. He's the sixth. He's the second whose father was an NFL head coach, joining Wade Phillips. Four Cowboys coaches, Tom Landry, Jimmy Johnson, Chan Gailey, and Jason Garrett, were younger than Shoddy when hired, but he is the first Cowboys coach born in the 1970s. He's probably the first whose playlist includes, I want you to rank this or grade this playlist.
Let's see if Peyton's heard of any of these.
He's probably the first whose playlist includes Jodeci.
Okay.
Morgan Wallen.
Ooh, okay.
SZA. Mm-hmm. Creed. Ugh. Rod Wave. And
I don't know that I know Rod Wave.
Oh, Rod Wave's so awesome. Get some Rod Wave, Peyton. Rod Wave and Frank Sinatra.
Okay. That's
a very varied playlist.
They call that eclectic?
Yes, eclectic.
That's good. That's a good one.
I think that's the word for it. Almost certainly, he's the first to sport tattoos, at least visibly.
Shoddy has tats?
He does. There's one on his wrist. I know. I think he's got one on his arm, too. He has Faith Family Football inked on one arm, Grit on one hand, and the birth dates of his wife, son, and daughter under his left forearm. In conversation, he comes across as confident but not cocky or domineering, engaging, introspective, sincere, likable. Whether those traits will manifest into Cowboys victories remains to be seen, but from all appearances, Schottenheimer is comfortable being at the on-field helm of one of sports' most iconic franchises. I don't think you'll find a more genuine person, says Dan Schell, Schottenheimer's high school best friend and football teammate. He doesn't try to be something he's not. And I think that's the important thing. When you hear stuff like this, and I know it's easy for some people to roll their eyes at it. When you hear stuff like this, most of the time, Chop, I would say it doesn't matter in most places. That kind of stuff, being prepared for the job, being prepared to understand what Dallas is critical for this job. That stuff Monday through Saturday and the people managing and the ability to get people behind you and to understand you and to follow you, that matters here. And the ability to weather the expectations that come with this place matter here. Because like you just said, Mike McCarthy left Dallas. Mike McCarthy left what the Cowboys are. Because that was too much for everything that went right for Mike. For everything that went right for Mike. Mike never, ever adjusted to what does it mean to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He always, I think, longed for the Green Bay setup.
Yeah, I think that he's ideally like in a, he wants that sort of mom and pop feel.
Whereas, can he get it done as an X's and O's coach? Who knows? Brian Schottenheimer may be a complete failure on the football field. We don't know that. But here's what we do know. With certainty, when you talk about a first-time head coach, it's going to be really hard to find somebody who's more prepared to understand what Dallas is. Mm-hmm. It's going to be incredibly
It is.
Growing up around Marty, seeing the NFL for as long as he has, working with the Jets as long as he did, which are just a total S show
they
over there.
Are, they are.
And then you get he's been here in Dallas for a couple of years. He already has a relationship with the quarterback. This is something where, at least for that aspect of the job, you know that he's going to be solid. He will be prepared for that. Now, does that translate to wins, just like the article talks about? We don't know.
We don't know.
It may not be good enough on the X's and O's. But that aspect of it, where Mike McCarthy was failing and a lot of coaches fail, Schottenheimer's going to be prepared, and he'll have that side covered.
You know, if they're healthy, they're going to be generally a pretty good team, I think. If they're not, and that's it. It comes on Dak, and you know, is he going to be ready for camp? Yeah, probably. There's, you know, like that's the reality of it. Is Dak's health comes into play with how great Schottenheimer's going to be able to be as a coach? Yeah. Well, there are some coaches who, I mean, if Dak is not healthy this year, like his career won't even get off the ground this season. Unless there's Joe Milton.
What's Joe Milton? What are you doing? Oh, there you go. There's some Rod Wave for you.
Oh, I think I've heard this song.
I love Rod Wave. Rod Wave was my number one song a couple years ago at the end of the year.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember which
your
one.
Your number one song?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. It was like 4 years ago.
I don't think I ever heard the name. This HOV Porsche of the Expressway is driven by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. It is the commercial-free Expressway. We have best and worst of the weekend coming up here in just a second, but let us hook you up first.
All right, Tolo's caller number 10 right now at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack of tickets to see the Arlington Renegades on Saturday, April 19th at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Rangers fear or fear not coming up at 8 o'clock. Is there some things you fear or do you not fear them? I don't know, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. But for now, it's best and worst.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
Wasn't a bad weekend. I had a best and I had a bestest.
Oh, no worst.
I did have a worst.
Well, I was going to say.
Yeah, I did have a worst. I absolutely had a worst. Which one do you want first?
We should always end on a high note. What was your worst?
So we're getting married this weekend.
Oh, my gosh. That was your worst?
No. We are getting married this coming weekend.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, obviously, I have two kids.
You do?
I want the kids to be there.
Two kids.
I want the kids to be part of this. So we're just gonna do something very, very small. We're just going to go to a park. You might see us. You might see us on Saturday afternoon at a park. If you're at a park on Saturday.
You want to say the park?
No. No. Because
I bet you'd get some people to show up.
I don't want anybody to see me out there getting married. We're just going to do something very low key in a park. But I said, kids, we got to find something to wear.
Oh boy, on the YouTube says, is Sean load managing again?
Load management Sharif. Yeah, he's load managing. What's he going to do when he works three straight weeks? He's going to feel like he hasn't had a vacation.
He's going to be DeMarcus Lawrence. He's burned out, man.
Burned out, man. So I was like, we got to find you something to wear. So we took the kids casual wedding clothes shopping. Not even wedding clothes. They're going to wear jeans. Good. I just wanted to get them like a white dress shirt and a sport jacket, like a blazer, and then a tie. That's it. Something very, very quick. You have never seen children more miserable at getting free stuff than my kids. I says, I'm literally buying you a jacket, a shirt, and a tie.
Oh, yeah.
My oldest, like, I don't even think he opened his eyes the entire time we were gone. My youngest is actually cool about it, but
I was going to say, based on the way you've represented them, I would assume Julian would be fine.
So Julian, there's two types of him. There's the manic, crazy Julian who loses his mind at everything. And there's the other one that is like a complete comedian. And we had the complete comedian, which had its downside because we were in Belks. He spent the entire time trying to get the camera to think he was shoplifting.
That is funny.
He kept taking ties off the rack and stuffing them in my pocket. And then he would like point up like, and then
that's
like,
good.
Like wave at the camera.
I like it.
And I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like you can't. Like,
imagine if you have to get married in jail.
I know, right?
That'd be good.
That'd be something.
You get conjugal visits.
So he was trying to bait security to think he was stealing stuff. He was having fun.
He's Luke a master
was,
at
Luke
it.
Was a pain in the butt. But these two were miserable. We were there maybe 30 minutes. Tops. I asked them to try on one shirt. Literally one shirt. I got the size. I said, here, put this on. Looks great. Miserable. The jacket. One jacket. One jacket he put on. Miserable. I know I was the same way. I'm sure I was the same way. I used to hide those little circular racks of clothes just for my mom. I would just hide in there.
Racks on racks.
Racks on racks. I would just hide in there because I didn't want any part of this. But and I am getting my just desserts. There's no doubt about that. But my gosh, I mean, you're giving them free clothes, dude. Like this is like, come on, I'm buying you something.
Yeah.
Miserable.
Don't be such a whiner about it. Take the free stuff. I'll admit though, I hate.
We went to one store. We were there for 30 minutes.
Yeah, just get over there. By the way, I got some best of the weekend really quickly here. I'll tell you what the best of the weekend is me jumping in the Twitch just now and seeing one Ryan Cotrere is in there chatting with people.
Oh, Ryan.
Ryan is back. He's in there. He's hanging out right now talking to the Twolos on there.
Look at that.
So that's good. I did see a text that came in that the best of the weekend from 214, best of the weekend, Sean came by my bar on Saturday night.
That's oh, really?
Yeah.
He goes to the bar. That's where he
slipped.
Show.
That's where he slipped and got hurt and was out for the week.
That's right. He's out for the whole week because he slipped and got hurt at the bar. That's awesome.
So there's some best of the weekend right there.
All
right.
So that was my worst. The best, well, two things. You know, one, we went to a hibachi dinner on Friday at a friend's house. Like, she had a birthday. So she ordered hibachi, like an at-home hibachi.
Ryan says you need to hook them up, your kids up, with the Bobby wedding fit special. So
yeah,
like
we're
the
basically
outfit I wore
doing
my kids.
That. That's basically what we're doing. It's a white dress shirt and jeans.
As, yeah, accept it. Shouldn't be a big problem.
It shouldn't be. I'll show you the photo.
I'll dress them.
I'll show you the photo. Like they just look like they could be like to be anywhere else. But we had the hibachi birthday dinner. That was really, really cool for our friend Gloria. I've never done an at-home one. There was like 40 people there. Like I could only imagine what this thing cost.
I saw you took a picture of the setup. Can I disclose this? Can I take a picture that you took a picture? Can I disclose?
You can disclose that I took a photo. All
right. There was one of those workers looked like they were just, I don't know. I think they must be a listener and they don't like you for some reason.
Yeah.
Cause he looked like he was glared right at you when you were taking that photo. When I sent the zoom in of his face.
We played a game at the end. It was like, you either had to guess the question right, or you had to take a shot of sake, whatever.
Sake.
In the, you know, with a squirt gun.
Oh.
And out of nowhere, they said, what's the official flower of the United States?
I don't know.
And I just guessed rose. And he's like, yeah, that's right.
Oh.
So I'd have to take
I have
one.
No idea. Good for
and
you.
And then the other one came around. He goes, guess my name. And I just pulled Arthur out of nowhere. And he goes, that's actually my name.
No, you knew that was his name.
I didn't know that was
yes,
his name.
Yes, you did.
I think what happened is I had heard that name. That name was in my head for like some reason for the last hour. And I think somebody had yelled it, and he answered. And I was like, that's the only name I have coming to me.
Context right clues, baby. That's all
context clues. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all you got to do. But the bestest, and this is the bestest here. We were cleaning up the stovetops. We have like the stainless steel under the stovetop. Yeah. And we have this, you know, this grease that just won't come off. It's like a stain. It just won't come off. It's been on there for years. And we found out that if you crumble up aluminum foil, it is like the greatest scrub brush ever.
Like you looked this up as a hack?
Yeah, we looked at like how to get this off, and then somebody just said, like, you know, put some Barkeeper's Friend on it and then just crumble up aluminum foil and just scrape it over it. And it's like sharp enough to where it like completely, it scratches the surface a little bit. That kind of dulls it. But this is the greatest hack. I'm going to do this on everything now.
You're going to clean everything with aluminum? I would feel like aluminum foil would
damage the hell out of it.
Damage something.
It did. I mean, it does a little bit. Can't really notice it.
But it's no more damage than the gunk that's on it?
Than the gunk was on it.
That makes
sense.
But
now it looks dull. It looks a little bit duller in that one spot. So, I don't know. Try it out. Bobby Belt.
Well, some of the other best and worst of the weekend, 817, 469 actually says more. I probably shouldn't read it. Never mind. 817, 14K, Windstar. So, that's the good thing.
Oh, hell yeah.
Let's hear. 214 wants you to do matching rompers. There you go. 817, my worst of the weekend was Saturday night. Had a customer at the new pizza and tap house in Weatherford told me to move when I was talking to a customer because the Houston Duke game was on and he couldn't see over me when we had 14 other TVs with the same game going on. Yeah, but you got to remember, this is also the same culture that gets upset when you tell people, hey, there's a tornado barreling towards your house and it's going to kill
Dude,
you. People
do not,
get upset when you break away
Sports
from that.
Sports fans do not want you to break away, man. They do not want that at all.
But I still understand where you're coming from, 817. I was pretty relaxed this weekend. I stayed in a lot other than the Rangers game. In fact, it was a lot for me to wake up and go out to the Rangers game, but pretty chill, pretty relaxed. Didn't have to go out. And that's actually usually a good thing. Now, I will say I was a little upset. Alec Medford has been wanting me to wingman for him, like I did for Wolchuk when we were in Oxnard. He's wanting me to take part, and I told him I will. So he said, all right, one of these Saturdays soon when I go out, you're gonna wingman. I said, okay. So I'm sitting there on Saturday just hanging out watching TV, and I get a text from Ruben, and it says, I hear you may be making an appearance today. I was like, what do you mean making an appearance today? I haven't said that. What are you talking about? So I saw Alec yesterday, and I asked him. Alec went out and just didn't even, like, invite me. And he was like, well, I just figured I'd ask you to help, like, when we were closer to where you are. I was like, just invite me out. You're never going to be close. I'm in Flower Mound. There's not anywhere we're going to go pick people up in Flower Mound. Like, we got to go to Dallas anyway, or we need to stay in Arlington where you're at. You gotta actually give me a call. So I didn't like that. I felt like I was cut out a little bit. I felt like I was big time a little by Alec Medford after he had seen the he did get the ratings sheet back, by the way, for AM on the FM.
And
I don't want to say what it is, but he was happy with it.
He's happy with it, not as happy as Peyton is.
Well, he wants Peyton's numbers, so he wants to see if he can compare it. But I felt like he big timed me and blew me off, and that was a little upsetting. Peyton, your best and worst.
Speaking of Peyton. He has the best of the best of all of us.
I think it's the best, right? Close the worst. House on or the Friday. Worst. So that's good. No longer renting. Technically still have the rental home because we paid, you know, one last month and have to do all that because of the lease, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, so we're just slowly moving stuff into the new house. That way we're not taking up one big weekend and moving everything in there. We'll get movers and stuff. So any movers out there that want to help, you know, we want to do that. We don't want to have to move the large stuff.
Now, is the new home bigger, smaller than what you're in currently?
Bigger. Yes.
Bigger.
Yeah.
Okay. More expensive. It's going to cost you more.
Technically, yes. Technically, yes. Barely anything, though. Barely anymore.
Okay.
Like it's not that big. Because, like, you know, we were to put enough down where, like, we got, you know, insurance taken off, whatever.
Sure.
I don't know. It was all that stuff.
Mortgage insurance.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I paid off my car. So,
yeah, you put the 20% down.
That hurt. That hurt a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got any jobs that are paying some hourly rates, you know, I'll take it right now. But yeah, no, for the long run.
Hourly rates.
Yeah, you wouldn't want an hourly rate.
You would want a salary.
Well, yeah, I mean, I need anything, but I'm just being realistic here. But yeah, so we got the house, got the keys and everything. We've been moving stuff in and out. But yeah, hopefully in the next couple weeks, we'll be actually moved in. We'll have some renovating going on the next couple weeks, some showers that need to be taken out.
So you're going to do all that before you move in?
Yes.
Are you doing that yourself, or are you going to hire somebody?
No, I've talked to the Pates, you know, so we're gonna figure something out there.
Oh, hey. You're not the one. It's this one.
It's this
He's
one
the
over
one
here.
Taking advantage of
Trust me, I gotta talk to him because I gotta get.
And he reached out right away when he found out we had the house. He was like, "Hey, any help?" You know, I was like, "I need to hit you up because I need some help."
So
there's some old stuff here.
I think we've decided that we are going to stay in our house, so I think we're going to remodel it. We need more closet space. We need to redo the bathroom. Master bath is terrible. Terrible. Terrible master bath.
It is a terrible master bath. I've been in it. Actually, I haven't been in it yet, but no.
I think you have. I think we showed you.
I don't think I went into your room. I think you were like, we haven't put all the stuff away from the last time. So, but no, you have a nice house. I like your house.
The house is fine. My interest rate's so low. It's like 2.75. I can't move.
And your interest rate began with what, Peyton?
6.
But you said, is that expected right
yes,
about now?
It's totally expected.
Well, my right buddy now. Who just bought a house last year, his starts with a 7. So
oh, yeah.
I knew I got the deal.
And it'll go down. You'll be able to it'll go down to 4s or whatever. Make it down lower. Who knows? Maybe not, but you'll be able to get down there.
Yeah.
All right. Some of the other answers on the fan text before we wrap up here.
Good for you, Pat. I'm proud of you.
Let's see here. We got 817. Oh, this would make me cry. 817. Daughter started practicing her sweet 16 dances in our driveway. Ugh. That would kill me. 214, found out my wife is pregnant with our second child. Congratulations. 214, went to Cali to play golf with a couple buddies. Weather was great. Worst, came home to the weather being colder here than in Cali. Uh-oh. Well, sorry. Glad you enjoyed your golf game at least. 972, guys, is Sean genuinely okay? I haven't heard him in a month.
He's
suffered a fall
fine.
At the Rangers game.
Yeah.
He suffered
fall.
A fall.
Big fall. Big fall.
He's just going to be out the rest of the week.
He's genuinely fine.
He is.
He's genuinely fine. He's just on paternity leave.
Yeah, he had a baby.
He had a baby a year ago.
He birthed it and everything.
He had a baby a year ago. Peyton Tolo Chris is like, he's got your refi. He's got you on the refi.
Oh, really?
If you want to refi, it's a little early. I don't know if you can refi 2 months after you got the initial rate, but whatever. Right. Congratulations, Peyton Russell.
Thank you.
New
Good job.
Homeowner. Oh, baby. It's Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. Rangers fear not. They're 8-2. But man, that offense might have a little bit of work to do. We'll get into that on the 8 o'clock hour. Sean and RJ coming up next on 105 The Fan.